Haiti, according to many, is a magical island heavily populated by devil dolls, zombies, evil sorcerers, and adherents of a blasphemous pagan cult, voodoo. What, in fact, is voodoo? Those anthropologists who have undertaken the study of jungle rituals tell us that voodoo is a strange mixture of African beliefs and rites with Catholic practice. The early slaves who were snatched from their homes and families on Africa's west coast brought their god and religious practices with them. Plantation owners who purchased the slaves for rigorous labor were compelled by order of the Lieutenant General to baptize their slaves in the Catholic religion. The slaves suffered no conflict of theology. Slaves accepted the white man's water and quickly adopted Catholic saints into their old jungle family of nature gods and goddesses. The annotations of evil and fear that are associated with voodoo originated primarily from the whites' obsession with the threat of slave revolts. The plantation owners and their overseers were outnumbered 16 to 1 by the field hands, whom they worked unmercifully in the boiling Haitian sun. As the black population increased and the white demand for slave labor remained unceasing, voodoo began to take an anti-white liturgy. Several saviors occurred among the blacks, who were subsequently put to death by the whites in the big houses. A number of laws began to be passed forbidding any plantation owner to allow night dances among his Negroes. In 1791, a slave revolt took place under the leadership of Toussaint Louverture, which was to lead to Haiti's independence from France in 1804. Although Toussaint Louverture died in a Napoleonic prison, his generals had become sufficiently inspired by his example to continue the struggle for freedom until the myth of white supremacy along with the whites was banished from the island. After the Concordat of 1860, when religions were once again re-established with France, the priests who came to Haiti found the vestiges of Catholicism kept alive in voodoo. The clergy fulminated against voodoo from the pulpits but did not actively campaign against their rival priesthood. The people seemed devout enough. The Catholic clergy concluded that with the passage of time, voodoo would be forgotten. In 1896, an impatient Monseigneur tried to organize an anti-voodoo league without success. It wasn't until 1940 that the Catholic Church launched a violent campaign of renunciation directed at the adherents of voodoo. The priests went about their methodic attack with such zeal that the government was forced to intercede and command them to temper the fires of their campaign. Now, voodoo is tolerated in Haiti. Enterprising members of the priesthood have taken to staging watered-down rituals for the tourists who want to see some real black magic. Perhaps this self-mockery, more than the zeal of church or regulation of state, will decrease the influence of the religion of the people. A male practitioner of voodoo is called Hungan, his female counterpart a Mambo. The place where one practices voodoo is a series of buildings called a humfu. A congregation is called a humsi, and the Hungan cures, divines, and cares for them throughout the good graces of Aloha, his guiding spirit. It costs a Hungan a great deal of money to set up practice. However, he does not have the problem that a conventional doctor often faces in convincing delinquent patients to pay their bills. If someone he has cured refuses to pay, the Loa quickly causes a relapse. The worship of the supernatural Loa is a central purpose of voodoo. They are the old gods of Africa, the local spirits of Haiti, who occupy a position to the fore of God, Christ, the Virgin, and the saints. The Haitians adamantly refuse to accept the church's position that the Loa are the fallen angels who rebelled against God. The Loa do good and guide and protect mankind, the Hungans argue. Certainly, There are devils, but a decent Hungan has nothing to do with black magic. The goodwill of the Loa is not obtained for nothing. The person on whom he smiles must not fail to oblige him with numerous sacrifices and offerings at regular intervals. The Loa communicates with his faithful one by incarnating himself in the person's body during a trance or by appearing in the person's dreams. The possession usually takes place during the ritual dancing in the Hongfu. Each participant eventually undergoes a personality change and adapts a trait of his or her particular Loa. The adherents of voodoo refer to this phenomenon of the invasion of the body by a supernatural agency as that of the Loa mounting his horse. There is a great difference, the Hungan maintains, between possession of a Loa and possession by an evil spirit. An evil spirit would bring chaos to the dancing and perhaps great harm to the one possessed. The traditional dances of voodoo are conducted in a series plane with rhythm and suppleness, but not with orgiastic sensuality. Twins are believed to be endowed with supernatural powers in voodoo. Some people go so far as to claim that they are as powerful as the Loa. Voodoo adherents expect that the parents of twins will have an especially rough time. Just discipline is accepted by the duo, but they determine in their own infantile minds just what is just or unjust. A spanking by a hasty parent may result in a sudden illness or failing strength that can only be restored by placating the offended children. If another child follows the twins, this child is regarded as having greater powers. A child who precedes the twins is not looked upon with any difference at all. All voodoo ceremonies must be climaxed with sacrifices to the Loa. Chickens are the most common victims of these sacrifices, although the wealthy may offer a goat or a bull. Participation of all in the taking of the blood is required. Often, spices are added to the vital fluid, but usually it is drunk straight. The zombie, those dreaded creatures of the undead, who prowl about at night doing the bidding of black magicians, are, of course, a well-known element of jungle sorcery and folklore. Some impressionable writers and tourists have perpetuated the myth of the zombie after they have witnessed an elaborate Haitian funeral. At the conclusion of a series of rituals, the Hungan waves away spectators and approaches the corpse alone for the purpose of setting the Loa free from its servant. The Hungan straddles the corpse, and at his sharp command, the cadaver raises its head and shoulders in a convulsive shudder. Sincere eyewitness accounts have testified of seeing a dead body suddenly sit up and release its Loa. Other reports have mentioned seeing the Hungan jerk the body upright by his own hands. Mystical hanky-panky on the Hungan's part is not intended, some authorities maintain. The entire act is to be regarded as symbolic. Voodoo lore actually has two types of zombie, the undead and those who died by violence. Haitians are most cautious in their approach to a cemetery, for it is there that one is most likely to meet one of the unfortunate wraiths who died without time for proper ritual. Another spirit classified as the zombie is that of a woman who dies a virgin. A terrible fate awaits her at the hands of the lustful Barossa Midi, a master of the netherworld. For the Haitian peasants, zombies, the living dead, are to be feared as very real instruments of Hungan who have succumbed to the influence of evil Loa and become sorcerers. It is a terrible thing to become a zombie as it is to become its victim. The dead are meant to rest, not prowl about at night as the slaves of darkness. The people of the villages believe that the sorcerer unearths a corpse and wafts under its nose a bottle containing its soul. Then, as if he were fanning a tiny spark of life in dry tinder, the sorcerer nurtures the spark of life in the corpse until he has fashioned a zombie. The deceased are often buried face downward by considerate relatives so the corpse cannot hear the call of the sorcerer. Some villagers take the precaution of providing their departed with a weapon, such as a machete, with which to ward off the evil Hungan. Haiti is filled with terrible tales of the zombie. Even among the educated, one hears eyewitness accounts from those who have discovered friends or relatives supposedly long dead laboring in the field of some native sorcerer. One story even has the zombied corpse of a government executive, officially dead for 15 years, as having been recognized toiling for an old Hungan in a remote village in the hills. Upon investigation, these zombies usually turn out to be idiots, imbeciles, or persons suffering from other mental problems. It would not be difficult for an unscrupulous Hungan to take advantage of someone with severe mental problems or deficiencies and turn them into virtual zombies. Then too, it is quite likely that the Hungan has discovered the secret and utilization of many powerful native drugs in the course of his magic. Modern science owes a heavy debt to native sorcery for some of its most effective painkillers and tranquilizers. It seems very possible to this writer that a Hungan who is seeking his own vengeance or that of another would mix a powerful drug into his victim's food and produce a deep state of hypnotic lethargy. This too could easily be the blank-eyed, shuffling, obedient zombie. One last word on zombies, and this is in the nature of a warning. If you should be confronted with what you feel is a genuine article, not a lunatic, not a moron, not a drug-enslaved wretch, be assured that the zombie is generally docile unless you could happen to give it some salt. Even a single grain of salt will penetrate the sorcerer's mist, and the zombie will suddenly realize that it is a corpse without a grave. With this terrifying knowledge bursting in its shriveled brain, the zombie goes berserk in its attempt to return to the tomb. According to legend, nothing can stop it, and certainly not you.